being an athlete shouldn't end when our playing days. Society views being an athlete as a liability. I think we see athletes as your value peaks when you're playing and it's all kind of downhill afterwards. But to be an athlete, at least at the collegiate level, means you know how to work tremendously hard. You know how to deal with it.
Welcome to another edition of the Columbia University Sports Podcast, The Cusp Show. We're talking about the business of sports, media, finance, athletic careers, all different kinds of stuff. We're here on Radio Row, the final day of Radio Row. I'm Joe Favorito, along with my co-host for the week, Scott Rosner.
How you doing, Joe?
Cool. So, Scott, we're going to talk about a really unique thing. NFL player, former NFL players who live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. So, our guest today is now an entrepreneur working in a pretty cool space, different space on the athlete partnership side, played in the NFL. Several teams, Florida State grad, and we just found out he's got one master's degree and may be working on another one. But Christian Ponder, welcome to the Cusp Show.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. I know I know there's one other athlete that I've seen on the Upper West Side, Emeka Okafor, played in the NBA, and it's hard to miss because he's like 6'9". Yeah. Yeah, I see him walk around the Upper West Side all the time. So
that's pretty fun.
I don't think many guys imagine themselves moving at least in the Upper West Side when their playing days are over.
Yeah, no question. It's one that I think it's the other way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Come to the Jersey side.
Yeah, right? For sure. But I love the city. I mean, I grew up in Dallas, so I never imagined myself living in New York City, but. When I was done playing, we had visited a few times throughout, during the off season. And I just loved the energy. And for me to figure out what was next when sport was over, like it made sense to go to New York. It's where business happens. I mean, it's the greatest city in the world. And so that's what drew me. My wife had the opportunity to take the NFL job, which allowed us to live in New York City. And it's been a great experience.
Yeah, no, and it's one that really, and I really am thinking about it. It's Giants, Jets who will stay around in the marketplace. You never played for either team.
No,
right?
I didn't.
So to wind up there is actually an interesting move, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people move there in their late 20s, early 30s, right, for work, and that's what you wound up doing.
I was just recruiting Latavius Murray, who's, finished with the Broncos this past year. He's still a free agent. I think he's still going to play, but he lives in Orlando. I was like, come to New York. It's the best place to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah, and you know what the response to that is? State income tax.
Yeah, right? I know. Especially when you're coming from Florida. It's not an ideal situation.
Is a big difference, right? It's a huge delta, right?
So, Christian, tell us about the Post, your investors, and how it kind of came about.
Yeah, so the Post is simply a social club and leadership network for former athletes. And we define former athletes as at least at the college level. When I moved to New York City when I was done, I had job offers from UBS and Merrill Lynch to focus on wealth management. So I started in the financial world, but started dealing with this deep discontentment around the idea that I've been an athlete my whole life. It's a huge part of my identity and my story. But it's also the community that I've been so closely connected to for so long, right? I've been on teams and in locker rooms since I was a kid. And suddenly I was forced to remove myself from that identity and from that community. And so I looked at stuff in New York City to join and belong to. I looked at a Soho House, I joined that. I looked at YPO, Young Presidents Organization, that's been around for a long time. Looked at the Core Club in Midtown. And all tremendous organizations that provide a lot of value to their members. It just didn't feel like my people or my tribe. My tribe was athletes. And so it went off in my head. If I was looking for community of athletes after sport and I couldn't find it, first of all, if I was looking for it, I couldn't be the only one looking for it. If I couldn't find it, maybe I should just build it. And what's been cool is I built this for me, something I would want to be a part of. It's resonated with a lot of people. And our whole thesis is that being an athlete shouldn't end when our playing days. When our playing days are over, because I think society views being an athlete as a liability. I think we see athletes as your value peaks when you're playing and it's all kind of downhill afterwards. But, to be an athlete at least at the collegiate level means you know how to work tremendously hard. You know how to deal with success and failure on an everyday basis in practice, throughout the season, in games. You're gritty, you persevere. You're determined, you have this competitive drive, all these things that are not the exact same qualities it takes to be successful anything else in life. And so all these tremendous soft skills that sports develops. And so not only an opportunity to build a place for people to belong to, but also build this high quality leadership network of people with all these tremendous qualities to do successful things in life after sport.
Yeah, no, so it's really interesting. So we do a lot of work, and I've done work for 15, 20 years with professional athletes transitioning, thinking about, their post-playing career. We did it at Wharton for a long time when I was there with the joint program between the Players Association and the NFL, and, you know, had a range of players, right? You'd have players, some of whom are walking around in this room right now, Hall of Fame level players,
yeah,
right? All the way to guys who, quite frankly, you've never heard of before, right? Unless they happen to be, you know who the fringe practice squad guy is on your favorite team,
yeah,
right? And young, right? So never too early to start thinking about what comes next, right? Yeah. Average playing career in the league is under 4 years. And, yeah, you know, we know that you're a young man when you finish, right? Yeah. In almost all cases, put Tom Brady as obviously the gross exception to the norm. And we actually do a lot of work with female professional athletes, a different level financially,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And that's a whole other, because now it's like career planning,
yeah,
right? More so than financial planning. Right. Sure. In a lot of ways, we've done work with the NWSL and with their athletes, getting them ready for life after the game as well. And it's always tricky, right? I mean, people go from making what a professional salary is at a high level and a good level of performance. So people have accumulated $70-80 million of earnings during their day. And now you've got to get fired up because you're going to work for a high end investment bank. Right. And like, you're starting, if you do really well, you kill it, you're still not going to be at the league minimum.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, for sure. And it requires a whole lot of hours too in that specific role.
Yeah.
I think for us, transitions are difficult, and especially for athletes. And I think how we help is it starts with community. I mean, we are all looking for things to be a part of, and we've, there was such a strong sense of community when we were in the locker, right? When you talk to so many athletes, hey, what do you miss most about sport? They say, 95% of the time, the answer is the locker room. Miss the locker room.
Sure. It's the guys.
And so for us, we want to build that new version of the locker room. It's a continuation of your athletic career. You're not being an athlete on the field. You're being an athlete in business. And it's a different type of locker room business. It's not a boys club. It's for both men and women. And I think really what we're focusing right now is building the veteran locker room. So we have VPs from Goldman who are former collegiate athletes, a lot of former Ivy League athletes who are, JP Morgan's of the world, who are at investment banks, who still identify as athletes. And I think just like when I was a freshman at Florida State, when I was a rookie in the NFL, I immediately stepped into a space that had people that have been doing it year after year. Now I can immerse myself and surround myself with these people, be influenced by them. And so I think now, same thing, we're building this veteran locker room of business people who are former athletes that, as an athlete transitioning out, I can go surround myself with people who understand what I'm going through, mm-hmm, who understand that being an athlete is an asset when it comes to business. We've had members say, hey, I want to hire former athletes because we value them. Can you help consolidate that process for us? And so we're talking through things like that. But, I think, again, I'm building this for myself. I wanted this. And the fact that it's resonated with others, it's been great. If someone else did this, I would have been a member of it yesterday. It's been cool for me to be on this side of it.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the coaches you're around, the other athletes you're around, who influenced you during your playing career that got you to where you are now.
Yeah. Look, the biggest influence for me was Jimbo Fisher, who's now the head coach at Texas A&M, but he was my offensive coordinator at Florida State. He was definitely probably the hardest coach I played for, but he was the hardest because he had the highest expectations for me. And when I didn't meet those expectations, he let me know very bluntly. But that was good. That was good. I needed that because I had coaches that I played for even after that weren't very transparent, and I didn't know how I was doing. So it was great. But I think, having someone like that push me, he was a great, tremendous offensive mind. So it was always a continued learning process. And so he definitely had the biggest impact on my career.
So, and you were raised in an athletic family,
yep,
right? Your father, if I recall, was a football player,
yep,
at Florida State.
Yep.
Both you and your father played for Coach Bowden, mm-hmm, right, during your time there. In a way, so it's always been a mentality, right? Yep. Your father was certainly not an active college athlete during the time that you've been around. So it's basically what you've known.
Yeah.
So talk to me about who are your investors?
So Will Ventures is our lead investor. Yep. Will Ventures was started by two Harvard, yep, football players.
Yeah, you can drop Harvard. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Ivy League football players.
That's better. Isaiah's all right.
Yeah. Isaiah played, was the captain for the Seahawks team in the 2006 Super Bowl. He's tremendous. He's on our cap table. He's our lead investor.
Yeah.
Max Ventures is an early stage seed fund out of New York City. started by Ryan Darnell as the managing partner. He was a collegiate baseball player. Andreessen Horowitz, you know, we talked to Jeff Jordan, who was a collegiate basketball player. Mavron, started by Howard Schultz, former college football player. Now he's not involved with Mavron, but Natalie Dillon, who we talked to, played tennis at Stanford. FJ Labs out of New York City. Fabrice, who started the fund, played tennis at Princeton. Jeff Weinstein, who we talked to, he ran track and cross country at Penn. Everyone on our, I think except for one, everyone on our cap table was at least a former collegiate athlete. So it's one of those things where like this needs to exist. Yeah. We get this opportunity, and so it's great. We have a great cap table. They've been very supportive of us.
So tell me about what it's like at the Post. So if an athlete shows, I mean, they show up, right? It's a private club. What's the experience like?
Yeah, the experience is, so we very much love like the YPO model. So we always, if you know YPO, if you know Soho House, we're a combination of both. And so we do believe in the physical spaces. We do believe that bringing people together in intimate spaces is important. So we will have our clubhouse that opened in the spring in New York City in the Flatiron District. But this is also a national membership, but we believe in the cohort model, just like a YPO does. So if you join the Post, we'll carve out a cohort for you. So for me, I'm an early stage founder. Let's put you on a team of 9 other early stage founders. You have similar issues that you have to deal with from a business standpoint. You have similar ambitions and goals of the things you want to achieve. So immediately put you on a personal board of advisors that can help you navigate the issues that you're going to deal with as someone in your specific type of role when it comes to business. We'll have content. So we have a speaker series every month. We'll bring in, we had Chris Pronger, Hockey Hall of Famer, talk about what he did on the ice and how that's translated into his travel business that he's running now. And now he's coming out with the Canadian Whiskey Brands, an entrepreneur, talking about how those related to each other. We'll do an annual summit every year. So I think we're going to do it in Southern California in October, where people who aren't in New York City, we bring the whole network at large into one space to get together. And, you know, a few days of learning, a competitive event. We'll probably do like a, now that pickleball is all the rage.
No.
A giant pickleball tournament. And, look, it's a network. It's all about the people that were there. It's all about building relationships and just building relationships with people that you have so much in common with because of your shared life experience as an athlete.
Yeah, cool. One last question from me. Learning from loss. How does that translate into, because, you know, I would imagine a lot of highly competitive people come in and remember the wins, but also remember the loss. How does that factor into kind of the ethos that you guys are trying to build?
Look, I remember the losses way more than I remember the wins, because they sting. Those are the ones that keep you up at night. I was talking to someone recently who works in, I don't know if it's an investment bank or something, but they were talking about how the people that they have that report to them, some are athletes, some are non-athletes, and how when a deal has fallen through, how it takes the non-athletes so much longer to get through that process than the athletes. Because the athlete, we dealt with failure. That's a part of being an athlete. And we do an interview process when you join the Post. And one of the questions we ask is like, tell us about your favorite failure.
That's
because
great.
Like we want to embrace that part of our stories, because we talk about failing forward. It's always a learning experience, and we don't want to dwell on it for too long. So how do we turn that into a competitive advantage? Because everyone's going to fail.
Yeah. No, we actually asked the question, and anyone who's applying to our program knows this. We ask, tell us about your worst grade and your transcript.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's always interesting to see, and I can tell you what we're looking for or not looking for. Right. But it's interesting to hear people explain their failures, right? Hopefully not an F, right? But sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And explain, you know, where they didn't perform to the level that they were hoping to.
Yeah, and understanding why. So going back to my favorite coach, like Jimbo Fisher, you always ask the question of why. You always have to understand. So like, why did you fail that way? How can I learn from that and not fail in the same way the next time? And so I think it's a huge asset. I think athletes are really good at being introspective. As a quarterback, I was always watching film myself. I was always self-analyzing of what are the things I'm not doing well? How can I get better in those specific areas? And it's the same thing. Like, you should be doing those same exact things in business. Like, what am I not doing well as a leader? How can I get better in my communication or whatever it is? And again, like, we want to lean into that part of ourselves and not necessarily run away from when sport is over.
Yeah, cool. No question.
Christian, got to let you go, but tell us where people can find out more about you and about the Post.
Yeah, the Post. So it's just www.thepost.co, not com, but .co. You can go on there and check it out. There's an opportunity to join the wait list. And once you join the wait list, we have your information. We can reach out to you. But it's as simple as that.
Cool. Right. Well, once again, Christian Ponder from the Post. good luck with the launch. Hopefully, you know, we'll be stopping down at some point. Yeah. And we want to have you up on campus. Former Campbell Trophy finalist, as a matter of fact.
Campbell finalist.
So, once again, I'm Joe Favorito for Scott Rosner. You've been listening to The Cusp Show at Super Bowl 2023. We'll see you down the road.
Thanks, guys.